Now, if you're a code-breaking sort of person, and who isn't? I mean, there's something about codes that are a little bit thrilling. There's something about codes that are at the basis of so much of our information sharing and how information is spread. There's a fantastic book called The Information. I think it's a James Gleick book, and it's talking about the history of information theory. And so much of that involves the development of codes and how codes work and cryptography and all the rest of it. Code people are very excited because the United States National Security Agency has declassified a Cold War era document about code breaking. Parts of it had already been known, but now the whole thing's out and everyone's just, you know, over the moon about the whole thing. Richard Bean is a research fellow, the School of Information Technology and Electrical Engineering at the University of Queensland, and he's excited. Richard Bean, good afternoon.
Hi, James. How are you?
Good, good. It's sort of fundamental to how, you know, in a sense, all the information we get is turned into code at some point.
Yeah, like all your online banking and all your online shopping depends on the privacy of the information you're transmitting and receiving. So it's kind of essential to modern computing.
Yeah, and when it's the term we use, isn't it? People write code.
Yeah, or in the meaning of programs, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so it's really very basic to our modern world. What's the significance of this document?
Well, it comes at the very end of when people were still using manual ciphers. So they were using machines and they were writing codes by hand. And so this document is about how to identify what method we use to encrypt codes that are made by hand. And so it's all about you look at a message and you find the patterns in that message. You're looking for the non-random aspects of that message. So you find the patterns and then you identify the process that was used to make the code.
Right. But I would have thought that sort of thing was reasonably standard. Like, isn't it that it's, you know, the letter E is the most common letter, so you look for that and then you look for other things, you know, the opposite of that as such.
Yeah. So that's the very simplest of ciphers. It's a substitution cipher. So you substitute, one letter for another. And that's the kind of thing you find in the newsagent puzzle books. So as you say, you look for the most frequent letter and then you say, well, that might be an E, and then you go down and you find the T, and then you start looking for the, because that's the most common. Yeah,
that's the most common word, that sort of thing. Yeah. So what does this, what is this telling us about cryptography?
Well, this has got as you go along, you've got substitution and you've got transposition. That means you jumble up the letters. And then the more modern algorithms, they combine substitution and transposition, and then they use computer power as well.
Yeah.
So the more complicated you make it, the more the enciphered message, it looks like just completely random text and you can't find any patterns in it. So around the time this book came out, the computer algorithms were just getting so powerful, they're the ones that are the basis of online banking for now, that you couldn't find non-random patterns in them anymore. So this is just about breaking codes systematically. And so what it's also useful for is trying to break the some of the historical puzzles that are out there. So you might have heard the Zodiac Killer cipher was broken last year by a team of cryptographers, one from Melbourne. And so they used exactly this same process of finding patterns in the code and identifying how those patterns were created.
Right. So even though the original algorithm, the original creation of the code, will attempt to have unrecognizable patterns, it inevitably does have patterns?
Yeah. So if you're trying to create a puzzle and you want it to actually be solved, then you've got to leave some sort of identifiable pattern in it. Otherwise, it'll never be solved. And so you see that in puzzle books, the Masquerade book that was written in the 1980s. It was like a picture book with lots of puzzles. And so you've got to leave some way for your would-be solvers to solve it, or otherwise you've got to start releasing clues. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is this style of cryptography, this sort of code breaking that we would think of as sort of Second World War, Cold War, is that now done? I mean, do this sort of the potential algorithms, the computers of this day, blockchain, for example, do they make them sort of irrelevant?
These classical cipher algorithms, they're the building blocks of all the modern day cipher algorithms. You know, you can't look at these kind of codes and break them by hand anymore, but they still provide lessons for modern, code breakers and code designers.
I suppose I wondered whether codes were even necessary. Like, couldn't I lock something now in a blockchain environment, which meant it's really only the next person, it's more now akin to having a key, isn't it, that the next person will have the key, otherwise it is just unbreakable.
Yeah, algorithms these days are so strong that even these intelligence agencies, they prefer to read the messages before they're encrypted or read them after they're decrypted. They can't break the encryption, even the most powerful computers. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's reached a point where there are actual unbreakable codes now.
Yeah, I think you could say that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so this is still exciting because it just gives a little bit of historical interest in
because there are codes out there like the Cryptos Skelter at the CIA, which people haven't been able to break despite the ever increasing power of computers. So this kind of document, it might give the people who don't work for the National Security Agency information about ideas about how to break this kind of code.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just exciting sort of historically. It's like finding an Enigma machine or something.
Yeah, people have been waiting decades for this to be declassified. They first asked for it in 1992, and the NSA said, no, we can't declassify it because it will reveal our code-breaking prowess to the, enemy states.
Yep. But I guess we're pretty much past that, and we've got some more pressing issues.
Yeah, but it's a great document in the history of cryptography. It's like, How did our modern cryptographic algorithms get invented? Yeah.
Yeah. Richard, great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks, James.
Richard Bean is a research fellow at the School of Information Technology and Electrical Engineering. You can read his original article and with further details on the conversation this morning.